Thank you for listening to Bible Crossfire every Sunday night at this time. Bible Crossfire, we try to look at what God's Word, the Bible, actually says on religious issues and take what God says. He says in John 14:50, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we don't follow God's instructions, that's a reflection of our love and our respect for God. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought we'd talk about a question. Answer this question from the Bible. Does it matter what we practice in religion? Does it matter what we practice in religion? You know, most believers think the details of what we practice in religion don't matter. That all that matters is if you believe in Jesus. They reason that since different churches have different practices, then what we do must not matter to God. But on the other hand, if it does matter what we practice, then those practicing something different from the truth will not be set free from sin. Because John 8:31-32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you see how that we must continue in, and that meaning practice, God's word to be a true disciple and to be made free from sin by the truth? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That would imply that if we're not practicing continuing in God's word, then we're not truly his disciple. And the truth won't set us free from sin. We'll be lost. So it's so important that what we practice, what God instructs us in his word to practice. If you have a Bible question or a comment or on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. This is Patrick Donahue. If you want to contact me and talk to me about any Bible subject off air throughout the week, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. But if you have a Bible question or comment right now, give us a call at 677-655-6755. Now, as an example of what I'm talking about, I'd like to read Leviticus 10:1-2. Here's how that text reads. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Do you see how Nadab and Abihu's practice, in this case their worship, was not in line with God's direction? It says they offered strange fire to the Lord, which he had commanded them not. They were worshiping God, but not the way that God had specified. Now, ask yourself this question. If God was displeased with them when they did not practice, worship God the way he told them to, then why would we think God would still be pleased with us even though we practice things that are not authorized by God's New Testament law? Do you remember Matthew chapter 15:9, we read that verse quite frequently on this program. Jesus said there, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So if we practice the commandments of men, our worship will be in vain, according to Jesus. Vain means useless or worthless. Now, we can't go to heaven like that, can we? Robert from Arkansas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was listening to a pastor over the weekend. He was preaching, the message he was preaching was victor or victim, but in his sermon, part of his sermon, he was preaching hate, how he hated something and this, that, and other, and I got a little confused because, you know, pastors are not supposed to hate. They're supposed to love everybody and everything, from what I understood, and I just kind of wanted a little clarification on that. I mean, am I wrong for seeing it that way, or was he wrong in what he was preaching?
he was wrong in what he was preaching, if he was preaching what you said. You remember Jesus, he was in Matthew 22. Jesus was not in this passage belittling any of God's laws at all. But he names the two greatest commandments in the law. In verse 37 of Matthew 22, he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so it is required of a Christian to love his neighbor as himself. His neighbor is anybody. Another passage that came to my mind, Robert, is 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, which reads, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." We think about how that if a man lusts after a woman, he's committing adultery in his heart. Well, if a man hates his brother, he's committing murder in his heart. Do you follow what I'm saying, Robert?
I do.
Robert, I appreciate the call.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Just kind of hard to now, you know, find someone who's going to preach the Bible as it's supposed to be preached when, you know, and having you and people like this on the radio to clarify is actually a big help, and I really appreciate you being on the radio.
Appreciate your encouragement, Robert. Do me a favor. Are you driving right now? Are you driving?
Yes, sir, I am.
When you get home, I want you to send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. So we can talk further about the Bible, okay, Robert?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call, Robert. Robert is so true. You know, this is typical of not all, but many preachers today. They want to preach what they think instead of what the Bible says. And if they think it's okay to hate somebody, and they claim to hate somebody and still be a follower of Christ, then that's what they'll preach. Instead of actually looking at the Bible and see that what the Bible requires us to love even our enemies. That the last section in Matthew chapter 5 tells us we got to even love our enemies. And so that's required. And it doesn't matter what we want or what we think is best. We have to follow what God thinks is best. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We have to follow God and His Word. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. We're talking about, does it matter what we practice in religion? Let me read another passage. 2 John verse 9 reads, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So, if we're not staying inside the teaching of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, according to this text, then we don't have God. We won't be saved. Do you see why it is so important that we practice what the doctrine of Christ says for us to practice? Many people don't really think it's important. As a matter of fact, when they're deciding what they're going to do in worship or what the practice in their religion is going to be, they don't even consult God's Word. And if you're not consulting God's Word, then you're not practicing what God told you to practice. Let me give some examples of some unauthorized practices that I see many churches doing. The first one I mentioned last week, women preachers. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 34 and 35. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, there's nothing vague about this passage. It and other verses are crystal clear that women should not be doing the teaching in the church assembly. Yet, my guess is about 75% of Christian-type congregations allow women to speak from their pulpit. Have we lost sight of the fact that the Bible should be the guidebook for churches? To allow women to preach from the pulpit, is that practicing sound doctrine? It's not. Most churches allow women to preach from their pulpit. They're not practicing the doctrine of Christ. And it matters what we practice in our religion. Tony from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a preacher friend of mine who's who says he is not going to baptize anymore because he says that under the new covenant and under Paul's, what Paul had to say about, see, he's glad he didn't baptize some of these people and things like that. He says that, that he's not going to baptize anymore because under the new covenant he doesn't feel he has to. And I said, I told him that the last instruction that Jesus gave as he's ascending into heaven was, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he didn't know, you know, he says, wouldn't it be safer to just to follow what Jesus said, you know?
Exactly, Tony. You got that right. Tony, isn't this a perfect example of what I mentioned just a few minutes ago? Preachers and other people who claim to be Christians are now, they're just going to do what they think is good instead of consulting the Bible. And the Bible, if you consult it, as you said, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus told us to go out and teach folks and to baptize folks. And as a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Tony, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, that's just the old King James way of saying forgiveness of sins. Baptize them, and then for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so, if this preacher, Tony, quits baptizing, and he quits baptizing, assume, then nobody's going to be getting the forgiveness of sins, because you've got to take believers who have repented and baptize them for the remission of sins, according to Acts 2:38. You see that, Tony? So you're absolutely right that if we're going to follow the Bible, and of course we have to follow the Bible to go to heaven, we're going to baptize folks, and we're going to do it for the remission of sins, just like Acts 2 verse 38 says. We're not going to say, well, I don't think baptism is that important, and therefore I'm not going to do it anymore. See, that's just following our own human reasoning. That, remember that verse I read a moment ago, Proverbs 14 verse 12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Tony, isn't that preacher doing that?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Tony, yeah, thanks.
I think
thanks for your call.
Well anymore.
Hey, Tony, do me a favor. Yeah. And as I mentioned to Robert a while ago, you're probably driving right now, but later when you get home, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com and let's talk further, okay?
I can't. I don't have a computer. I'm sorry.
Well, I tell you what. Here's my cell phone number. Call me later at 256-682-9753, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Tony. I look forward to your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Tony is so right. That preacher is just following what he wants to do. He's a good example of what many preachers are doing today. I'm not saying every preacher, but most preachers and most churches are just following what they want to do instead of following the Bible. That's why they allow women to preach from their pulpit when the Bible is so crystal clear against that. It says the women are not to speak in the church. They're to keep silence in the church. There are other passages besides 1 Corinthians 14 that teach that. And preachers and churches are just ignoring what God says, doing what they want to do, and they expect to get to heaven doing what they want to do instead of following God's word. It's not going to happen, folks. Another example of an unauthorized practice, a practice that's not found in the Bible, is infant baptism. Infant baptism, I like to read on this subject, Acts 8, 35 through 37. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answers and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, Philip was preaching to the eunuch. The eunuch wanted to be baptized, and Philip said, if you believe, you may. That implies that if you don't believe, you may not be baptized. An infant is not mature enough to believe. And so this verse conclusively proves that infants, they're not candidates for water baptism. They don't need to be baptized. They don't have any sins to be washed away in water baptism, Acts 22:16. But churches, many churches, will practice infant baptism contrary to God's word. This passage proves that it's unscriptural. Churches do it anyway. They're not paying attention to God's word. In a related matter, what about sprinkling for baptism? Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the first part of the verse reads, Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And so in baptism, we're buried with Christ. Now, when someone dies and we take them out to the graveyard to bury them, do we just stand them up and sprinkle a little dirt on their head, or do we put them all the way up under the ground? We all know what buried means. And so when the Bible says that we're to bury folks in baptism, that means we should immerse them. If we're going to do it scriptural, that's what we're going to do. Unfortunately, many churches don't care what the Bible says, and so they go ahead and sprinkle them, sprinkle infants, even though none of these things are authorized by the Bible. Olive from South Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was just calling about the baptism part. I was saying that the thief on the cross, he didn't have opportunity to get baptized. Jesus told him, says, you'll be with me in paradise today.
Yes.
And so,
you know, the thief on the cross, Olive, if I have your name right, didn't have to be baptized because he did not live under the new covenant. The New Testament law is what requires one to be baptized. The thief lived under the old covenant, just like Jesus. Let me read for you Hebrews 9, 15 through 17. It says, and for this cause he, talking about Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, Olive, a testament here, it's like we say the last will and testament. Myself and my three brothers, we inherited from my parents when they passed away. Now, they wrote the will in the mid-70s, but they didn't pass away. My mother passed away in 2010. So the will did not go into effect until after the death of the testator, my mother. It's the same way with Christ. The New Testament law, which requires baptism, didn't go into effect until after the death of the testator, Jesus Christ. And so the thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized for the same reason Abraham or Moses or Joshua. They didn't have to be baptized because they lived under the Old Testament law, which didn't require water baptism. Do you follow me, Olive?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
When you get home, look up Hebrews 9, 15 through 17 and see if I don't have that right.
You're right. I've read that. You're right. I agree.
Thank you for your call, Olive.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, later, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com and let's talk further.
Okay.
You know, we're getting some good questions and callers tonight. We appreciate that so much. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. We're emphasizing tonight that it's so important that we practice what God has told us to practice in religion. Many churches don't even pay attention to God's Word anymore. They just do what they think is best. What will bring in the best crowd, or what do we like the best? What's the funnest thing? Well, if we're going to have fun, let's go play golf to worship God. Just teasing. So we have to follow God's Word if we want to be saved. I want to read you a passage from the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 13, verses 7 through 10. It says, they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. Skipping down to verse 9, it says, and when they came into the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Now the Ark of the Covenant was like a box that the Israelites carried holy things in, like the tablets that the Ten Commandments were written on. The Israelites had been instructed never to touch the Ark of the Covenant with human hand. The Ark had four rings on it, and they were supposed to put two long poles through those rings in order to create handles to carry the Ark without touching it. But when Uzzah saw the oxen stumble here in this text, and the ark was about to fall, and I like to say bust to smithereens, he touched the ark just long enough to steady it, to keep it from falling. He just touched it momentarily just to keep it from falling. Now, you might think Uzzah was doing a good thing, trying to keep God's holy ark from breaking. But God had said, never touch the ark. And so Uzzah had to pay the consequences. Now, here's something important we can learn from the Old Testament, this Old Testament story, even though we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. If God tells us not to do something, don't do it, even if we think we're helping God. women preachers is a good example of this. I'm sure some women preach for the money, some for the glory, but I've got to believe some do it sincerely because they're trying to help the cause of Christ. But that doesn't make it right, does it? We learn from the story of Uzzah touching the ark and being struck dead by God that if God instructs us not to do something, like women preaching from the pulpit, then don't do it. Even if you think it will help God, don't do it if God said don't do it. So, of course, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore, but in the New Testament law, if God says don't do something, then don't do it. Even if you think it will help God and His cause by doing it, don't do it. Just don't do it. You see how important it is that we practice what God has said. Uzzah did not practice what God had told him to practice. He didn't do what God had told him to do in the Old Testament. Don't touch that ark. We read in Leviticus 10, Nadab and Abihu, they did not do what God told them to do. They were trying to worship God, but they didn't worship God according to His direction. In the New Testament, we need to worship God according to His direction. We need to practice what God has instructed us to practice. If we want to go to heaven, that's what we're going to do. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, we'd be glad to take your call. Now, what we've been trying to say tonight, and we've been trying to say it with Bible verses, not just because Pat thinks this way, but the Bible teaches that it matters what we practice in religion. We can see this clearly from a passage like James 2, verse 10. That text reads, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." When we try to keep God's law, which we should try to keep God's law, if we offend in one point, we're guilty of the whole thing. That doesn't mean that if we tell a lie, we're guilty of adultery. But what it means is it only takes one crime to be a criminal. It only takes one sin to be a sinner. And so if there's one thing, even one thing that we refuse to repent of, that we will not follow God's word on it, even if we're doing most other things right, that one thing will cause us to be lost. If we offend in one point, we're guilty of all. It matters what we practice in religion. Valerie, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I was wondering about, a question came up as to the communion service and the bread and the wine. The bread being, well, two times this has happened at church, and because of people having a gluten problem, they pass a cup of popcorn along with the bread, that just regular bread, leavened bread. And I started doing research on all of it because it took me aback on the popcorn business. And then I thought the whole thing with the matzah bread in the Old Testament and what it signifies and all this different stuff. Can you just tell me what your thoughts are on what we should or should not be doing?
In 1 Corinthians 11:23, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And so we have to eat bread and drink fruit of the vine, Valerie, in the Lord's Supper. If it were up to me, I'd change it to fried chicken and Coke, because I like that better, but it's not up to me. We must practice what God has told us to practice. We must do it the way He has said, and He has said in the Lord's Supper, we're to eat bread and drink fruit of the vine. So we must do it that way. Make sense, Valerie?
Yes, it does.
I have to go off the air. Thank you for your call. We appreciate everybody listening tonight. As I said, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com.